What a deep thought. The path. And Robert Frost writes wonderful poetry about paths, and there's one about him going to a wood on a snowy day, and what he's doing there exactly he doesn't know, but he's there. You know, God leads us that way. We don't know the way or the path of discipleship's taking us, except it's taking us in the direction of heaven, of hope, of resurrection. And what a wonderful, great thing that is for all of us. I'm going to want to talk about discipleship over these weeks, but let me start by just reviewing this week a little bit. We had Valentine's Ash Wednesday. We cooked a variety of egg pies, which is appropriate because you could say, quiche me once, quiche me twice, quiche me once again, right? But we had a lovely time doing that together. And thank you to Laura Fowler for creating a little video with some music about that. And of course, we have a holiday coming this week as well. But it's not a simple one either. It's not. You might think it's like everybody say, what holiday do you think we're celebrating tomorrow? Okay. But, you know, given who we are and how we are as a nation, we're not clear how we're celebrating it. So, you know, this is really subtle, but I want you to notice that in different states, this is how they celebrate it. It's either President's Day for all the president, or it's President's Day, like a particular president, or it's a day belonging to all the presidents. And maybe that's a subtle difference, but these are all the ways that it's officially named in our country. Washington's birthday, President Lincoln, Washington, George Washington Day, Washington Lincoln Day, Washington and Lincoln Day, Washington. You know, it's subtle, but it's amazing. How do we keep these things straight? And then there are some that I can't even quite understand. In Alabama, they celebrate George Washington and Thomas Jefferson's birthday. His birthday's in April, April 17th. Well, we know why that might not be there. And then in Arkansas, I love this, George Washington's birthday and Daisy Bates Day. Daisy Bates was a woman, an African-American woman who helped publish a newspaper and did an awful lot. And here in February, many of us are paying attention to what's happening in the world of many of our co-citizens in this community, people who are African descended. And then in California, of course, it's California. This is how it's officially known. You know, go figure. Of course, it's California. But I want to talk about discipleship in light of Lent. Lent being a time when we can use tools like these that are listed, tools of prayer and tools of scripture reading. And giving alms, that's an old way of saying helping somebody. Giving alms and practicing self-control through fasting. That's what that whole giving up thing is about. You know, you can couple it with a wellness plan, you know, which some of us try to do. But it's really about denying ourselves, practicing giving up when we have to give up. Because there will be times when we have to give up in our life. You know, we are so blessed to be apart from all the nations in the world where people are giving things up every day. Where if they can eat once a day, they're happy. But these are ways that we can come together and remember. And I want to read scripture that will empower us. This is a thought. This is where Jesus is, which empowers and gives energy to all that we can experience in Lent. So this is from Mark's gospel. We're traveling back a bit to the beginning. Mark chapter 1, if you want to follow in the New Testament in your pew Bible. This might be a slightly different translation. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, where the words read as follows, in Jesus' name. About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. While he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open, and the Spirit, like a dove, coming down on him. And there was a voice from heaven that spoke to him, "You are my son, I dearly love. In you I find happiness." Then at once the Spirit forced Jesus out into the wilderness. The Spirit forced, get that, Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Afterward, after John was arrested, Jesus came back into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and change your lives and trust this good news." The word of the Lord. So you'll recognize that that in Mark's telling of that experience, there are some things that we're used to hearing from Matthew and from Luke in terms of particulars that happened. What was it that the adversary, that's what Satan means, the adversary was in conversation with Jesus about? Well, it was about offering him a shortcut. Offering him a shortcut around everything that he was going to experience. So that's the engine that propels us in Lent and in our discipleship. And it propels us, first of all, I want to suggest, to reconciliation. It propels us towards this great coming together. You know, Paul wrote, he said, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and giving to us a ministry of reconciliation. You know, what's our job? To reconcile ourselves to God and then to reconcile the world to God. That's our two jobs. You know, Jesus says it himself, go into the world making disciples, baptizing, preaching, baptizing. But reconciling, that's who we're intended to be. Not among ourselves, certainly. Yeah, that's, you know, to be reconciled as a family so that we can get out of here and reconcile whatever world we come in contact with. The medical world, the education world, the world of dealing with immigrants, you know, the world of dealing with families in need of help, the world of whatever it might be. God wants us to be empowered to be reconciling people. And the vehicle for that is that he atoned for us. That's a hard one to see. That's Jesus praying in the garden. He atoned for us on the cross. He paid a price for all of our sins. So these are words that you might be familiar with around the time of Lent, especially if you've got some connection with the Catholic world at all, especially these words, penitence, repentance, and penance. And you can tell they all have a root that draws them together. And I want to suggest that they can help us with a blueprint to making this first thing happen. So if you're taking notes, I should have provided you some notes paper. If you were taking notes, you can do it on your phone. I don't mind. Just don't speak into your phone though, if you can type it in. This is the first movement towards reconciliation with God. And this is a road that we're down already, many of us. I don't want to presume that, but this is a road many of us are down. First of all is penitence. Penitence is that first thing where we get to know in our hearts, in our minds, in our guts that something is not right. Something is not right. Something has not been right, and we need to change it. Penitence. It's a recognition. Some places they would call it conviction, right? That sounds like a Baptist word. They would have conviction. You know, we have recognition that something is right. You know, and, you know, oftentimes I feel it in my gut. I just feel it. I feel it in my chest when I've said a word that's harmed somebody. When I've allowed my driving habits to kind of ruin my peace, right? It's easy to have happen, you know, or when I've allowed someone else's driving habits to ruin my peace, right? But this is step one. This is that recognition that something needs to change. Penitence. And then there's repentance. Repentance. Repentance is turning around. It's reassessing and looking back and saying, holy smoly, you know, I have got to do that. I'm not just anymore feeling about what happened. I'm starting to do something. I'm saying, you know, whatever it is that's harmful has got to stop. You probably aren't doing anything that is harmful to you. I know that. I don't know. I know that for me, that there are things, whether it's getting up in the morning and saying to myself, you know, how many times, and, you know, I said this once to somebody. I said, I think I called myself stupid 6 times today. And he said, I think that's too many times. You know, and figuring out what it is that gives us that instinct. Somebody said, if we talked to our friends the way we talk to ourselves, we wouldn't have any friends. You know, we need to retool our script. Retool especially how we speak to the adversary, how we speak to the inner critic, the critic that's inside of all of us. And then that leads us to this tangible piece. And again, if you were in the Catholic world, which is just wonderful, in the Catholic world, penance is a sacrament, and it means you go and talk to somebody about what went wrong. And you make your confession to them. And then typically they give you an exercise, a spiritual exercise, to help you deal with your guilt and get past it. That's what that's all about. You know, and that's not a tradition that followed Luther or Knox or Calvin into this Reformed world. So we confess together, and we confess in front of one another, because we don't need an intermediary. We don't need an intermediary between us and God. You don't need me to tell you that you're forgiven. You know, you can understand that and affirm that yourself. But recognition and reassessment and reconnection are the steps of reconciliation. So what is it that empowered reconciliation? What gives energy to the grace behind this movement? I guess I'll say it that way. Well, what it does is the movement of Christ towards the cross, where he stepped out of his role as a son and as a carpenter and as a co-supporter of his family, and it happened about the same time that his cousin John, or that John that he knew, went out into the wilderness and was saying to people, come on, change it up. Do something better. Live the way that God wants you to. Jesus began his journey with that. And he identified with that movement. And he received affirmation in the voice from God speaking to him from heaven. And then he was equipped by the Spirit. And then from there he was led into the wilderness in the way that a prophet was led into the wilderness for 40 days. There are all these 40s in the Bible. We read just a little bit from Genesis. If we went on, we'd read about Noah and the days of rain, Moses on the mountain for 40 days, the Israelites wandering for 40 days. It's a long, sustained time, a testing, an ordeal to be overcome. And then after that, Jesus came back and spoke. He came back after being confronted and spoke and called people. And here's another great Greek word, metanoia. You know, to change their entire way of thinking, to change their inner paradigm, to change their mind, their heart, their self, to be converted within themselves. And the vehicle for all of that was the cross, the atoning cross of Christ. So questions that you might ponder, if this seems like a good thing, if you haven't followed through with a step like this already in Lent, what is it that I could give up that would be helpful to me? that would help to my journey of following Christ. Maybe it's doing, you know, my little Wordle puzzle first thing in the morning rather than sitting down and being quiet before God. Maybe that's something I need to give up. And then what is it that I could take on that would help me to follow the path of faithfulness in a more robust, authentic way? So may God grant us a good Lent, a good journey. May the Holy Spirit be present and empower us as we reflect on all these things.